Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, if you don't know, I have what's called essential tremors, so I shake. If you haven't noticed it up here, it's not because I'm nervous, it's because I shake. And a couple of years ago, I was really excited because the neurologist said there's a medication you can take and it will take away the shaking. It's like, hallelujah. I've been dealing with this since I entered high school. Try being fun as a high school student that shakes and nobody understands why. Well, Friday, my medication ran out. So I went down to the pharmacy, because that's what you do when your medication runs out. And I went down to the pharmacy, and I got to the pharmacy, and I gave them my insurance card, and I said, I need my medication. And they into the system, right? Because that's what they got to do, get into the system. And she goes, well, I see your medication here, but you have no refills left. We got to wait for the doctor's approval. There's a word in there we all despise, right? What did she say? I needed to wait. I said, but I'm out of medication. I don't want to shake all weekend long, and who knows when the doctor will on a holiday weekend. So here I am in this waiting game, and every time I see my hands do this, I go, oh, I'm having to wait. But that waiting is nothing compared to some of the waiting I've done, right? Three times over, growing a life inside of me and having to wait, right? I've gotten to relive these memories as one of my former youth, the child of the mentor pastors that I worked for, has been waiting for 9 months, and I've been watching this countdown to the due date on Facebook, and she's been talking about how she just can't wait to hold her baby girl, and I'm like, I know what that feeling is, to be staring down at that stomach and saying, can you just get out so I can hold you and see you and count all those fingers and toes, right? It's the most anticipating time in life that comes with excitement. That's the exciting waiting. Now, I've been at the other end where the waiting is not so exciting. Sitting vigil at a bedside, waiting knowing that the end is coming, waiting knowing that the goodbye is going to be sooner than I want it to be. That's the waiting we really don't like. The waiting for life, the waiting for death, and all of the waiting in between. Well, this morning we are waiting. We are waiting for Christmas Day. We are waiting for the celebration. We are waiting for the pinnacle of the story. We are waiting for all of the preparations that we have made to come together in that perfect moment of family and friends and food and gifts and all of the different ways that we celebrate, from the most simplistic to the most elaborate. We're all in that waiting place. But Christmas for us, the wait is nothing like the wait was for Mary and Joseph, waiting, watching for that Savior to come. Their story that we tell year after year. And this year, it would have been so easy at this point to talk about the Mama Mary and her waiting. As I used her Magnificat in our call to worship, and as a mother, it could be so easy to tell it from the mother's perspective. But this morning, on this last Sunday of Advent, I decided to step into unfamiliar shoes. Shoes that I can't really relate to, but shoes I thought we can't ignore. And those are the shoes of Joseph, the father of Jesus. And as I was reading Joseph's story, as I was reading through articles and trying to get myself into his position and place to try to understand what he was going through, I ran across a couple of brilliant art pieces by a magnificent artist by the name of Rembrandt. Maybe you've heard of him. And there are a few I could have shown, but here's the one I chose. And here's this place, not in the midst of waiting, but here's at the end of the waiting. And we look at Mama Mary there, Mama Mary that's just got this peace and contentment, right? Because the hardest part of the journey, the laboring to get to Bethlehem and the laboring to give birth to the child is finished. And here her arms are around him, like protecting him, like nothing's gonna get him right. This is mine, he's finally here. And there she is at peace with her child. But then look at Joseph. Look at the exhaustion. Look at the weariness. Look at the years that this journey has taken off of him. I think too often we overlook what he went through. I think too often we look at the mother and forget how essential the role of the father was. This man that looked so weary, this man that looked so tired. Go back to the beginning of Matthew. And Matthew doesn't focus on the mother. Matthew focuses on the father. And he says, this is how the birth of Jesus came about and enters Joseph's journey. Here was this man, this good and righteous and faithful man, a carpenter by trade, with these hands that would build, these hands that would provide for people in what they made. A man of God. A man who had all of the plans laid out, right? He had picked the bride. They were soon to be married. He had a good job. He had God, and it was all there right before him. But as we know in life, too oftentimes, the best laid plans go to waste, right? And here as Joseph's looking at that plan and looking at the rest of his life and what's it going to be, but here comes the life-shattering news that Mary is pregnant and there's no way it could be his. Joseph right there has a decision to make. Right there, he has to decide what he's going to do. And Matthew says, because he was a righteous man, because he was faithful to the law, by the law he would choose to protect her and quietly divorce her. Here's this child. It's not mine. You go your way and I'll go mine, and new plans I will lay. But surprise to Joseph, as he's making these new plans and deciding what new route life is going to take, here enters God. And through his angel, this voice whispers to Joseph, Joseph, I have plans for you. It's just like God says to the prophet Jeremiah, I have plans for you, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And the angel says that to Joseph. I have plans for you, plans that are filled with hope and a future unlike any that's been lived on this earth. And I have a role that you have to take. I have a role that is a critical role, and only you, Joseph, can fill it. And as hard as it might be for you, I need you to take Mary as your wife, and I need you to raise Jesus as your son, because that's God's son. Imagine what that would be like. Imagine what it would be like to be told the weight that's on your shoulders is to raise God's child. I couldn't even imagine that. I know what it's like to have the pressure of just raising a child and knowing that that life is in your hands, let alone if that life was God incarnate. But God, through the angel, tells Joseph, do not be afraid to take this role. Do not be afraid. There are those times in life that God says, I have plans for you. And it's a road that's a scary looking road. It's a road we don't want to go down. I know there's roads I haven't wanted to go down. That one looks hard. That one looks treacherous. That one I can't see around the corner. How about if I just take the safe road? And God says, no, it's got to be that way. It looks scary. It looks unknown. There's bumps and twists and turns, but believe me, that's the way you got to go. That's the right way. That's my way. And that's what God is telling Joseph. And he says, don't be afraid. And God can say that. Why? Because God is right there. Do you see it in this picture? Because weary Joseph, what does weary Joseph have but God's hand on his shoulder through the angel? In his weary and tired moment, God's hand is upon him saying, I'm right here with you. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be worried. You don't have to be unsure, because I'm walking every step with you if you will just trust me. And Joseph trusted God. Joseph, the righteous man, had faith and said yes to God and married Mary. And they took that treacherous road from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Joseph, the one to safely get her there, carrying all the stuff along the way. Joseph, in all his weariness at the end of the road, knocking on door after door with the responsibility of finding a place for Mary to give birth. Joseph having to make sure to provide for her and God that was in her. That's why he's exhausted. The emotional and laborious journey that he has taken to ensure that this moment happened. And it could not have happened without him saying yes to God. Without saying, God, I will trust and have faith in you and the plan that you have for me. It's not what I had chosen. It's not what I had dreamed. It's not what my parents had expected of me. But God, I will trust you. And this miracle moment happens. God's miracle happened because Joseph said yes. And here God came in the midst of the journey. Here God came in the midst of the mess. Here God came in the midst of the weariness of life. But why did God come in the midst of that? So that God could be in the midst of our mess. So that God could be walking with us in our weariest and most treacherous moments. Jesus, as he was teaching later in the book of Matthew, addresses just this moment. When we feel like we just don't have any more energy, when we feel like we just don't have the answers, when we feel like it's hard to celebrate because of everything that's going on and all of the challenges of life. And Jesus addresses it in Matthew 11, and he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. God came on Christmas morning so he could give us rest in our weariness. You need more proof? Look at the woman at the well. The woman at the well that's living a life nobody would pick for themselves. She's in the messiest part of it as she sits at noontime at that well. And Jesus comes to her, seeing her thirsty for a life that she would consider worthy. Thirsty to be noticed and recognized and told she has worth. And what does Jesus say as he comes incarnate into her life? As God comes and walks with that woman, he says, "Let me give you living water. Let me give you my life into yours. That is this endless supply that you can draw from. When the road gets difficult, when times get tough, when you don't have it in you, draw from me. Because I'm right here walking with you." That's the gift God gave us at Christmas. That's the gift of Emmanuel. That's the gift of a God that would be born in the midst of our mess and our difficulty. That's the promise of Christmas. That's what we are waiting for. But the good news is we don't have to wait. The kids are waiting for presents on Christmas morning, but we are not waiting for God's presence. We are not like Mary and Joseph waiting for that baby to be born because it was already done 2,000 years ago. We are not waiting for Christ's presence to come on Christmas. We are not waiting for God to step out of heaven on Christmas because God already did that. That morning's about celebrating the anniversary. That morning's about remembering what has already happened. That morning is about us renewing our covenant with God to say, "You have fulfilled your end, and you came into this world, and you came into my life. And here on Christmas Day, like Joseph, I will say yes. Like Joseph, I will say, I trust you. Like Joseph, I will say, I have faith in your plan, even when it's not my plan. I have faith that you will walk with me every step, even when I can't feel you." That's what Christmas becomes. Stepping into this role and saying, "I have faith and trust." And so what are we waiting for? We are not waiting for God, but God is waiting for us. My friends, the journey was long and hard to get to the manger, but Jesus says, "My yoke is easy, is light, and my burden is easy." So will we take the yoke of Christ on Christmas and allow him to be incarnate into our lives, accepting him once again into our hearts, saying, "I have faith in you, that when this journey gets tough, that I will lean on you and trust in you, just as Joseph did." Will you pray with me? God, there is much waiting in life. And waiting is not a place we like to be. And patience is not something that comes easy to us. And on this morning, we feel that waiting for Christmas. And we just ask that on this day, as we are in your house of worship, that we will open our hearts to your Holy Spirit. That we will open our hearts to feel the Holy Spirit's hands upon us as the angel's hands were upon Joseph. to feel your reassuring touch that you are with us. And may that touch, may that voice, may that feeling be one that guides us towards Christmas, not as one that celebrates the presents that we open under the tree, but to be one that celebrates your presence within us. That presence that is already there. That presence that was fulfilled 2,000 years ago on Christmas Day. Why? Because Joseph said yes. Why? Because Mary said yes. Why? Because an innkeeper said yes. And may we, in these last couple of days, search our hearts and search our souls to figure out what you are waiting for us to say yes to. What it is that you are asking of us that we might be afraid of, that we might be unassured of, that we might just not know of. May you help us to find what that is and help us to find the courage to trust you and say yes, so that Christmas Day becomes the beginning of our next journey with you. For all of this we pray in your holy and magnificent name. Amen.